All right, so as a church, what we do is on a monthly basis, mostly we'll get a sense of what God is speaking to us as a local church and speak and preach on that particular topic. So for this month, what God has laid on our heart is to really explore something that I believe is pertinent to us. Whether you're young or old, whatever it is, wherever you are at any point in life, this question, I believe, comes up once in a while. And that question is to you and I, how can I lead a fulfilled life? What will give me that sense of fulfillment at every point in my life? And I'm really quite hot on this, because one thing I say to myself is this: I don't want to wake up when I'm 90 years old or when I'm 100 years old. You guys are saying, oh, Pastor, I'm going to be 150, use a higher age. Don't worry. If you want to remain here till you're 150, all the best. But I think, well, we'll see as God does it. I don't want to wake up one morning when I'm 90 or 100 and I'm like, man, all the things that I thought would give me fulfillment, empty. All the things that I've expended my energies on just haven't cut it at all with me. So that's one thing that I personally want to avoid in my life. I've seen people who, I've been around quite a bit, and I've seen people who are like 90, 95, 100, well, this, I think the oldest person I've seen that we've spoken is about late 90s. And I've listened to the stories of so many people. And for some of them, it's like, wow, I did this. And you can see a sense of fulfillment in their eyes. For some other people, not a real sense of fulfillment. It's almost like a sense of regret to say, wow, these are the things that I wanted to do, but I never got the chance to do them. These are the things that I thought would bring me great fulfillment, but I never got there. I never did those things. So I don't want us to ever get to that point. Am I saying that we will know it all? No. But we want to be like Paul that says, I have finished my race. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now I'm ready to go. You want to get to the place where when it's time for you to check out and to meet our Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, well, I've done my bit. I've given it 100%. The things that I thought would give me fulfillment, they have given me fulfillment. I have really lived my life to the full. Then you're like, see you later. Then I'll invite you guys to my mansion in heaven. It'd be streets of gold, diamonds and all that, if you like that kind of thing. So we do not want to end up in that point. So hence the question this morning and last week: how can you live a fulfilled life? How can I live a fulfilled life? What will bring me or give me that sense of fulfillment? What will give you that sense of fulfillment? That's what we're exploring this month. So last week, we had a very interesting conversation. And we looked at the fact that, man, for a lot of people, a lot of us, we believe that money and financial security will give us the fulfillment we need. Now, the point I made was that, look, I don't want to sound like to the left or to the right. Yes, money will help us. We need to aspire. It shouldn't be like, money is not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit at home. No, I didn't say that. And I think I mentioned that if you have a lot of it and you don't know what to do with it, I'll send you my bank details. If you don't want to give me cash, I'll send you the links to some apartments in Dubai. And all that. So if you don't have need for it, someone does. But I mentioned that, look, that's not the point. The point was that sometimes we can place our expectations for fulfillment on money, but it disappoints all the time. All the time. So today we're looking at something else that I believe a lot of us will sometimes project as, man, this is what is going to give me proper fulfillment. If I can just, do this, I'll be good. So what are we looking at today? We're looking at relationships as a source of fulfillment. romantic relationships as a source of fulfillment. You know, I was just thinking that all the movies that really make it, well, started back in the 60s. When I was growing up, I used to love all these 60s songs, you know, with the and all that. I'm not saying I was born in the 60s, by the way. But I used to listen, I mean, I loved all those songs. All the, you know, and the thing is that in those days, that was previously, all the songs that were hits, all the songs that used to make it, used to be about one guy seeing a girl, one girl and one guy. It was all love stories. Do you get what I mean? Love stories. Do you know what? I was like reflecting on relationships a while ago, and I typed a search on Google, something like, I asked, it was like a random question about relationships, and I got loads of results. And I was like, man, people are really into relationships nowadays, whether they're Christians or not. And you know, random questions like, my boyfriend looks, my boyfriend, does my boyfriend really like me anymore? And you see thousands of people commenting. So I'm like, man, people are really, you know, into all this, which is good, by the way. So, and I began to realize that, man, relationships, romantic relationships, appear to play a big part in this world. And a lot of the movies that are blockbusters, I mean, there's always like a romantic thing in there. Do you get what I mean? Those are the ones that you see people queuing at the entrance of Odeon Cinema. It's like, oh man, I have to see this movie. So, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I was going to be a bit cheeky this morning, should I? So I was like, okay, let me just pause there. I saw this couple. I'm not going to pause, by the way. I saw this couple. I'm not going to look in anybody's direction. So there's this couple. I'm not looking in any direction, right? So this guy, I looked at his picture, right, before he met this girl. And I was like, man, you look like a completely different person. And I looked at the picture, you know, after I met the girl. I was like, man, this has really changed you. You know? Let me stop there so I can concentrate on what I'm doing this morning before people start saying, Pastor, you know, not quite sure you should be. So let me just come back to the topic this morning. So we're looking at relationships as a source of fulfillment. And we're looking at the life of a very interesting man in the Bible. We might have come across him before. We're looking at a man called Samson. Samson. Very popular guy. Samson was one that the Bible says was so strong. Took the jawbone of an axe and without an AK-47, fought like 1,000 men in the army. Just the, you know, jawbone of an ass, and he dealt with all of them. Samson was the one that carried the gates. This man was strong. But looking at the life of Samson, a lot of us look at Samson and I think we associate a lot of things with him. One, this guy that was like supernaturally strong, and the other one, his relationship with a woman called Delilah. But I want us to look a bit further at Samson. And not just stop at, okay, this guy just messed up his ministry and all that by succumbing to this girl called Delilah and, you know, we write him off. No. Let us take a look at the life of Samson. Let us look at maybe some of the things that were really motivating his choices. I'm not him, but I just want us to explore one of those things. So, I'm going to start by reading Judges chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2 to start with. So the first point I want to make here is this. Samson, I believe, was looking at relationships as something, romantic relationship here, as something that would fulfill a longing that he had. something that was like, man, if I can just get this thing, if I can just get someone that can make me feel like this, someone that I can, you know, then my life would be complete. So there was something driving Samson apart from the fact that, well, you know, be like, this guy just loved women. No. Yes, we know probably he loved women, but there's, I believe, something beneath that. There was something that was driving him, I believe. And Samson had, the Bible records a couple of relationships that he had. So the first point was that I believe he was longing for this relationship that will bring him that fulfillment. So, one relationship he had, Judges chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. It says, Samson went down to Timnah and he saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now, get her for me as my wife. Samson sees this woman and he's like, man, I have to have this woman. This is the person that is going to give me the fulfillment that I need. So he goes back home without wasting time at all. And he tells his parents, that's the person. That relationship didn't work out, apparently. So Samson was like, man, that didn't work out. You can read Judges and you see what happened in that relationship. It was like a really funny one. Then he proceeds again. And in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, another relationship. And he goes, Judges chapter 16, verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So he gets over one relationship that didn't really work out. And the Bible tells us he proceeds and he finds someone else. So you're like, what's the big deal? I mean, yes, he found someone else and yeah. So what's the big deal? Yeah, life happens. Well, this was quite interesting because we begin to see something about the drive for fulfillment in the life of Samson. The drive for fulfillment. Now, how do I know that this was such a big drive? The second point is this. Samson's drive for relational fulfillment was so strong that it overrode the concerns of his parents. If you look at Judges chapter 14, verse 1, Judges chapter 14, verse 3, it says, his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to this uncircumcised Philistine to get a wife? So at that time, there was a prescription of who God's people could marry. And his parents were like, hang on. I mean, come on, you know, this woman that you're going to marry, I mean, it's just. And Samson's drive for fulfillment was so strong that he ignored the concerns of his parents. That's a big thing. He was, as far as we know in the Bible, their only child. And they were trying to talk to him. He's like, look, we're not quite sure you're making a good decision here. And, you know, they're pushing it. And they just come out and say, look, how can you marry this person? And Samson was like, thank you very much, but I am going to marry this girl. I'm going to go into relationship, irrespective. So you can imagine the friction that was going on at that point. But Samson's quest was, I don't believe it was just physical, that he just saw a beautiful girl and, you know, there was something else because there would have been a lot of beautiful women around. But for him, this was the person that would give him that fulfillment that he so longed for. So that's the second point. That his desire to fill that hole of fulfillment was so strong, he overrode, ignored the concerns of his parents. Something was driving this man. The third point, his longing now went a step further and it overrode the word of God. in his life. Now, this Samson man was not an ordinary person, so to speak. He was a judge in Israel. The Bible says he judged Israel for 20 years. So this guy wasn't just like a run-of-the-mill. This was someone that before he was born, an angel appeared to his parents and said, this is what Samson is going to do. So he wasn't just like a run-of-the-mill guy. He knew the word of God. God did great things through him. So he wasn't like someone who didn't know God, but his desire to fulfill that longing in his heart caused him to override the word of God. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 27, it says, we must hear now that you're doing all this is terrible wickedness, and you're being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women. So God was so particular in this context. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, it says, do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your son. Now, this was then. Do you get what I mean? But the point was this. Samson knew all this, but there was something still driving him. And that thing that was driving him was like, there is something in my heart that needs fulfillment. And it is this relationship that will fill that void. To the point that he put the concerns of his parents aside. He put the concerns of God aside. Why? There was something that he needed. You know, I feel sorry sometimes for Samson. And I kind of like understand him a bit. So this was someone who was like not going to pretend. He was not going to pretend and say, look, this is what's going to give me fulfillment. He wanted to be real in his life. He knew, in quote, he thought he knew what he wanted and he went for it. So we begin to see something in the life of Samson. Now, you might be sat here and like, well, that doesn't apply to me. No problem. But what I'm just trying to typify here is this, that there are times that we think certain things will give us the fulfillment we need. It might be like, man, if I get like a really good house, I get a really good job, I get a really good this and that. Those things are valid and we should aspire to those things. If I had like someone who like really loved me, that is fine. But what I'm talking about here is where we believe that that is what's going to fill the hole in our hearts from a fulfillment perspective. All these things are great. So we see that Samson even overrides God's opinion about him as well. Then the fourth point is he now starts this relationship with this woman. And he's like, man, I have really, really found someone and something that is just going to fill the hole in my heart. Someone who all the cares that I have, all the longings that I have, being with her will fulfill all those things. And he started the relationship with her. And I'm not going to read this. If you look at Judges chapter 16, verses 15 to 19, Judges chapter 16, verses 15 to 19, Samson begins to have this relationship with this woman, and there was a part that I saw there that just gave me like an idea of what Samson was really looking for. So if you note down Judges chapter 16, verses 15 to 19, but I'm going to read verse 19. It says, after putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off his head. The Bible says that Samson put his head on her lap. He was like, man, I have found everything. Why are people laughing here? Oh, yes. Can you? He was like, He was like, I don't even want food. I don't want anything. He just went and he said, man, what I need now is I need rest. I need someone. I just need to. And she said, you know what, Samson? I wasn't there, by the way. You know what, Samson? Why are you laughing? He said, you know what, Samson? Oh, you've had such a long day judging Israel. I mean, all people want from you is just to look after them. They come to church, you pray. Nobody's even asking Samson how you're doing. Nobody's even asking, have you had jollof rice or chicken? They're just like, okay, we want. Man of God. The people, and you know, but Samson was like, man, I'm tired. And Delilah goes, you know what, Samson? Just put your head on my lap and sleep. Someone says sleep of death. That's the bad part. But what am I saying here? Samson thought he had gotten to the place where he had finally found fulfillment. So that's the fifth point. But that relationship didn't work out. It became something that destroyed him. Now, I'm not saying all relationships are like that, but that was a temporary fulfillment that he had. It didn't really feel the longing of his soul. Jesus now says something here. Samson was like, oh man, this is what would really bring that comfort to my soul. What was Samson really looking for? What was he looking for? Beauty? There were loads of beautiful women around, I believe. What was he really looking for? Jesus now turns to the people. This is my fifth point. And he looks at everybody that is there. Some people are tired. Some people are in pain. Some people are happy. All sorts of people. And he tells them one thing. He didn't tell them, pray more. Samson was probably a prayer person. He was tired of praying. He didn't say, do this more. He had done everything. He didn't say, you know what? Next time when you get that apartment in Dubai, that will bring fulfillment to you. Here are the keys. He didn't say that to them. He didn't say, oh man, just, you know. What did Jesus say to them? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I make the fifth point this morning. Jesus looked at them and he knew that there was just one thing that would give them the fulfillment and the satisfaction that they so wanted. And he summarizes it here. He says, come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will bring rest to your soul. That thing that is, you're thinking, oh my goodness, if I can just get this, my life will be made. If I could do this, my life will be sorted. And I pray that you get all the desires of your heart according to the will of God, so that you and I can realize very quickly that that's not what's going to do the job. So Jesus tells them, come to me, all of you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you fulfillment. So, if you and I think that anything apart from Jesus is going to give us the ultimate fulfillment, I beg to differ on that. Paul, the apostle, says something. He says, look, everything I have. He says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, Paul says, what is more, I consider everything a loss, Philippians 3:8, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and I consider them garbage. Paul, the apostle, that, like Samson, he was used to do so many things. He wrote, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, over a third of the New Testament. Man of God. But unlike Samson, he realized that, look, even being like successful in this ministry, I've converted so many people for Christ. Yes, that will give me fulfillment. I have a massive church. People love me. People, and all that. That is fantastic. But Paul the apostle said something. Brilliant man. He said, look, everything that I have achieved, everything that I have done, everyone that I know, those that love me, those that don't love me, the things that I have achieved, this man was a driven man. But unlike Samson, he realized that there is only one thing that can bring the fulfillment to our hearts. There is only one thing that you will wake up when you're 90 or 100, that when you're about to meet Jesus, you're about to depart from this world, there's one thing that will bring that fulfillment to you. Your relationships, I thank God for that. That will give you fulfillment. Your accomplishments, fantastic. We will celebrate with you. But let's not make the mistake that those things, including the relationships we think we so desire, which we should, is what will do the job. Jesus said, no. Come to me. I, Jesus, I am the only person that can give you that fulfillment. Nothing else. All those other things, yes, I will give you. I will give you good relationships. I will help you in your aspirations, but don't be like Samson. Be like Paul. So, what have I said this morning? And we'll pray in a minute. I've said, we're looking at the question, how can I live a fulfilled life? And we're saying that it's often thought that relationships, romantic relationships, can give us that fulfillment that we need. We've looked at the life of Samson. I've said the second point, that Samson's desire for that fulfillment overrode the concerns of his parents. His desire for that fulfillment overrode even what God was saying to him. And the fourth point I made was that he actually found a relationship and he thought, man, this is what is going to do it for me. The fifth point I made was that Christ says to us that it is him. The sixth point we looked at was the fact that Paul the apostle said, look, it's only Jesus that can give us that fulfillment. And I close with the seventh point this morning. You know, so this is the point where I remember I was talking to a group of like really elderly people. They were in their 90s. And everybody was telling me, one told me I was in the RAF. I flew a jet in the Second World War. I said, you? I almost took a selfie. Snap. I've taken a selfie with someone who was an RAF pilot. One person told me I drove a truck around the world. A little woman. Said, you drove a truck? Said, yeah. I almost said, show me the picture, but that was like, I thought that would have been rude. So I left it there. And for those who had like regrets, what I told them was this. It's okay. Gina. It's okay. Looking at the life of Samson, after all he had gone through, he thought, man, I've failed in life. My life is just, people will be reading my story, and the thing that they'll know about me was not how I even loved the people. It's not even really how I, all the things I did in the 20 years. Everybody will identify me with Delilah, this failed man. But God had a slightly different perspective concerning Samson. After Samson had gone through all that and he lost the relationship, the Bible begins to tell us something about Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 22. It says, but the hair on his head began to grow again. That means when he was by himself, he just thought, man, my life's done. But God wasn't done with him. The Bible says his hair began to grow. His strength began to return. So even when he hit the lowest point that way, God didn't say, useless man, you've embarrassed me. Everybody now, they'll be saying, these Christians, they're hypocrites. You know, God didn't say that to him. God, in the background, gently began to say, you know what, Samson? It's okay. You realize that these things that you were looking for, you now realize that they're not able to give you the fulfillment that you want, that you desperately needed. And he tells him, it's all right. And his hair begins to grow back. He now gets to the point where Samson's now like, God, just help me one more time. One more time. God didn't say, one more time, forget it. How can I do anything with you again? Your life, you're the end. Samson was at the verge of death. And God said, it's okay. Is that what you want? It's fine. Is that what you want? That's fine. So God didn't throw him away. Despite all he had done, despite all the mistakes that he made, despite him thinking that this is what is going to bring me fulfillment, God didn't say to him, you should have learned your lesson by now, mister. No, he did not. And at the last moment, just like the thief on the cross with Jesus, the thief that we don't know what he stole. You know, we don't know what he had done. But everybody must have been looking at that second thief on the cross. Useless person, murderer, thief, this. And he turns to Jesus at the last moment and says, Jesus, if you're the Messiah, please, shortest prayer point, please, bring me into your kingdom. Last moment. Jesus didn't say, you, were you a worker in your church? Were you faithful? He will have said no. In fact, I was a terrible person, is what he will have said. Jesus knew all that. But Jesus said, it's okay. He says, it's okay. Is that what you want? You've come to me. It's okay. He says, it's okay. So, I'm going to end this morning. And what am I saying? What's the point I'm making this morning? The point I'm making is this, putting the question to us. Putting the question to me, Pastor B, what will give you fulfillment? So it's not even a question to you, it's a question to yourself. What will give me fulfillment? Will money give me that fulfillment? I don't think so. Will relationships give me that fulfillment? All those things are good, but I believe the answer to that is what Jesus says. That no. And the last point that I made is, wherever you and I are, Jesus is saying to us this morning, it's okay. Let us rise and pray this morning. So this morning, it's a personal prayer. You know, there's so many desires that we have, spoken and unspoken. Some of us are disappointed. It's like, man, this should have happened to me. You might not even have expressed your disappointment to anyone around you, but deep in your heart, you know that you're disappointed. Jesus knows about it. And he says this morning, it's okay. But he doesn't want you and I to stop there. He wants us to come to him. And you'll say, you know, Jesus, Pastor B is saying, you're the only one that can give me fulfillment. That doesn't even make sense to me, really, Jesus. You know what? What does that mean in real life? But all the same, help me. So this morning, I just want us to pray. It's a personal prayer. Why don't you talk to Jesus this morning? Say to him, look, this is where I am. These are the thoughts and aspirations I have. In fact, I'm consumed with this thing, but I want to turn to you this morning. Let's be honest with him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you because you do not give up on us. We thank you for the plans and the purposes that you have for us, that even at the last dying moment, your plans still stand forever. Father, for all your people that are here this morning, and even for those who are not, who will hear this message, Lord, I'm asking that you will let them know that you have not left them, that it's okay, but also that they need to take the step to come towards you. Father, I'm asking, bring healing to everyone that is here. Bring strength to everyone that is here. Give encouragement to everyone that is here. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Immortal, invincible, God only wise, my Father, my King, the soon and coming King, the one who sent Jesus that he might reconcile us to himself, not because we deserve reconciliation to you, not because we're good or that we deserved it, but you loved us all the same. My King, I'm asking, let everyone that is here and everyone that we hear this message experience the depth of that love that you have. The love that pushed Paul to the point where he said, there's nothing more that I want. There's nothing that can compare to knowing Jesus. Help us to love you. Help us to focus our hearts and our attention on you so that we can say as well, when we are about to meet you, that everything that we have, everything that we are, is nothing compared to knowing you. Make that our heart's desire. Make that our passion in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. Let's be seated for a moment.